Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. Henry Morgan was a well-loved comedian with an acerbic wit and a personal reputation as a very nice guy. This is Henry Morgan's first show in a new series for ABC, and you'll enjoy a satirical description of New York in the year 3000. Funny how it echoes with some recent sentiment, as New York City was hit so hard by the pandemic. Henry Morgan loved New York and enjoyed living there until his death in the mid-90s at the age of 79. Here's Morgan with The Henry Morgan Show, first broadcast September 2nd, 1946 on ABC.
The following was transcribed from an earlier network broadcast.
Sounds like the American Broadcasting Company just had a new program. Good evening, anybody. Here's Morgan. ABC presents Henry Morgan in a program featuring Susie Dusso, Charlie Irving, Bernard Green and his orchestra, and a few surprises. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the star of our show, America's number one funny man, Bob Hope. Peanut, this is Henry Morgan. The reason the announcer said Bob Hope was we figured we'd get, 12 million more listeners. If you tune out now, kid, you're just a sore loser. Now, about this show, I'll tell you the truth. The American Broadcasting Company was suddenly stuck with 30 minutes of dead air. They had all this time, see, with nothing in it. Now, where this 30 minutes came from is quite a fantastic story. Some say that the guy who comes in here in the morning and opens the station for the day arrived one morning when his watch was a half hour fast. And he started broadcasting a half hour too soon, see. And by evening, here was this empty half hour sticking out. Of course, the executive responsible for this was dealt with. Before they fired him, they made him turn in his ulcer. And then they flogged him with a wet Jimmy Fiddler script. Anyway, they were stuck with this time. One vice president suggested that they get the public library to sponsor 30 minutes of silence. They were going to call it Program to Read By. Well, the library turned it down because they said they weren't getting a full 30 minutes of silence because at the opening, the announcer said, then somebody else suggested that we do a half hour of tobacco auctioneering. Split the time, he said, between L.A. Speed Riggs of Goldsboro, North Carolina, and F.E. Boone of Lexington, Kentucky. Or, it was difficult, though. The trouble was we couldn't find a writer to write that stuff. Anyway, somebody suggested that if you can't get a new type program for the free time, why not have one of the shows that's already on the network do the same thing twice? And they asked the Lone Ranger if he'd take over the time, but he said, no, this is the night that Silver listens to the radio. You'd be surprised, kids. Everybody has turned this half hour down. Harry Wismer, Jack Armstrong, Al McKitchell, until they came to me. Oh, it's not that I needed the job, but they made me such a good offer. They told me, the executives did, that if I do this show, I get, one, an autographed picture of Chiquita Banana, two, a season pass to Grant's Tomb, and three, a rubber stocking, which I don't need. Then we had the problem of giving this program a name. It's very difficult. You think this is easy? We were going to call it the Jack Benny Show, but we found out somebody was using that. We had... Oh, pardon me. Come in.
Mr. Benny?
No. I said we were going to call it that. Now, this show will be... That was terribly amusing when we did it the first time. This show will be divided into two parts, an opening and a closing, and I, of course, am in the middle. Now, everything that happens from now on will be a public service. As a public service, we present...
Great sayings of unfamiliar men.
Friends, many things were said last week that you may not have heard. Who said it or where it was said isn't important. But what is really unimportant is what was said.
Presenting the quotation of the week.
Now for the music part. We were going to have the ink spots. We were going to have the ink spots, but you know the fellow who says,
"Do I worry?"
He was too worried to come tonight. So instead we have Ross Gorman. Commercial announcement would go if I were foolish enough to sell this valuable program. But I won't. It's monotonous selling the same product for the same sponsor week after week. My way, I can sell anything I like. And tonight, I feel like selling cigarettes.
Have you tried Morgan's cigarettes? Only taste will tell. So why not try the taste test? Simply take a package of Morgan cigarettes and remove the paper from each cigarette. Pour the tobacco into a bowl. Now, taste it. Makes you sick, doesn't it? You see, ladies and gentlemen, you simply can't go around tasting cigarettes. You've got to smoke them. Here's what Mr. Snagwaris of Hollywood, California has to say. Mr. Waris, you're a regular smoker of Morgan cigarettes. Yes. Well, now, after you've smoked a pack of our brand, is your cough better or worse?
Better. Much better.
Yes, the British broadcasting system may have commercial programs someday, and probably will have sponsored broadcasts of baseball games. Our troops left them with some knowledge of the game. We're about to take you now to London, England, for an imaginary baseball broadcast. We hope you will forgive the announcer, Mr. Morgan, if he seems a bit unfamiliar with some of the terminology. Take it away, London.
This is Googie Morgan, bringing you the final inning of today's contest between Frothingham and Twickenham in a broadcast sponsored by the makers of Empire Carbonated Water. Empire Carbonated Water contains double the bubbles, you know. A I dare say we have proof positive of this. Double the bubbles. Oh, yes. It's been a lovely afternoon. The fog having lifted twice for a sum total of 17 minutes. At present, the scoreboard reads, and doubtless writes, too. Sorry. The scoreboard reads, Twickenham nothing, Frothingham zero. The next player is to be Mr. Egbert Toad. Mr. Toad is native to East Clutingshaw and stands 10 stone and drinks 3 hogsheads. As he stands at the basin... thank you. As he stands at the plate... His manner is quite assured. Mr. Thrussell, the bowler... thank you. The pitcher is about to pitch... that is. Mr. Toad stands perfectly still, and I'm afraid he's misjudged. That would be one strike, I imagine. Here's the following attempt by the pitcher. Mr. Toad thrusts mightily. Made quite an admirable contact. This may well win the game, you know. The ball is quite high in the air. Several players are making for it. You know, this Toad fella reminds me that some seasons ago I had the good fortune to spend a fortnight or so in East Clutingshaw. Never met the Toads, of course, though I did encounter a rather interesting old gentleman by the name of Giridans or Givney or some such. Fascinating fellow. Seemed to have spent the major part of his time in India, though he'd been elsewhere. Tanganyika, I think he'd been there. Straight settlements, yes, he'd been there. I do believe he'd even been to the States back in 1912, somewhere around there. Had this daughter, you see. She'd become confused with some chap from Cape Town, according to what the old chap told me. Fellow enlisted, joined the Royal Fusiliers. Was injured, too. Got knocked about a bit by the premature explosion of a fusil. never saw him again. The old gentleman, I mean. Well, let's see. That toad fellow appears to have run quite around the field. Won the game, I imagine. However, there's to be another contest tomorrow. Or Friday, I think. Perhaps you'd best check on it. This broadcast was sponsored by Empire Carbonated Water Company. Double the bubbles, you know. Cheerio.
No doubt you've heard the expression, New York's a great place to visit, but I wouldn't live there if they gave me the place. In the year 2000, on a Wednesday, a man named Sullivan opened a meat market in Paterson, New Jersey, just a few miles from New York City. He had meat, and word got around fast. By Thursday morning, the exodus had started. By Friday night, there wasn't a soul left in Manhattan. The city was empty. Trolley cars stood dead in their tracks. Vegetable dinners grew cold in the restaurants. And the people? Well, once outside of New York, they realized they'd never liked it there in the first place. And they just didn't come back. Some went further west, to Newark. Others became good humor men on the Lincoln Highway. New York became a dead and silent city like Carthage, Pompeii, Philadelphia. For 1,000 years, nothing is heard of New York. In January of the year 3000, a rumor reaches Professor Trigg at Buskirk University in Cleveland. Trigg, agog with the news, rushes to one of his colleagues.
Professor Morgenhoff. Professor Morgenhoff.
Yes, Trigg?
A report just came to my desk that a herd of animals has been sighted from the air over ancient Manhattan.
Animals?
Yes, Swinus vulgaris. Pigs, that is.
Oh, yes.
I thought they were extinct.
Extraordinary, Trigg. I will form an expedition immediately. Just between us, Trigg. These food pills we live on are awful. We start at once.
5 minutes later, a rocket ship sets the expedition down in ancient Manhattan.
We've landed. Here we are, gentlemen. New York City, just as it was when it was abandoned 1,000 years ago.
Look, Professor Morgenhoff, those two signs. One says Broadway, the other says 42. And look at those vehicles piled on top of one another.
Must have been an intersection in the old days, yes. McGreevy?
Yes, Professor?
McGreevy, why don't you take this road to the east and keep your eyes open? If you see anything, report to me on your wrist radio.
Right, sir.
Yes. Fine boy, that McGreevy. Love that boy, McGreevy.
This is odd, sir. Poles with red and green lights on them.
Poles with red and green lights? Oh, yes. Those were traffic signals in the old days. They were used in a game played with automobiles called Beat the Light. Oh, that's a McGreevy signaling on his radio. Yes, McGreevy?
I found a bottle with a note in it.
What do you make of that, Love? I'll read that again.
I don't mind if you do. Go right ahead.
What do you make of that, Morgenhoff?
Much better. Well, years ago, sailors in distress put notes in bottles and tossed them overboard. What does this note say, McGreevy?
It says, leave 2 quarts milk, 1 quart cream.
Excellent report. Report on anything else you see. Fine boy, that McGreevy. Lovely boy.
Say, this looks interesting. The sign over the door says drugs and soda.
I'd rather have a scotch and soda. What's in this little booth here with the glass door?
Well, I think that was called a telephone, Professor. Put that piece next to your ear.
This piece here? Put it next to my ear. All right, yes.
I'm still trying to get to a party.
Absolutely amazing. Trigg, what are you doing over there?
It's a little room hung on cables.
Room hung on cables? Oh, yes, that's an elevator, Trigg. Back in 1946, you could ride in an elevator for nothing. By 1947, they didn't go up and down anymore, and you had to pay $8 a night to sleep in them. That's McGreevy again. That's McGreevy. Yes, McGreevy?
Every place I go, I find an inscription. It's all over the wall.
What's it say?
It says, Kilroy was here.
Fine lad, that McGreevy. Very fond of that McGreevy, yes.
Professor, look at that huge sign over there.
Huge sign. Oh, yes, it says, terrific, colossal, gigantic, stupendous. Must have had tremendous beasts in those days.
Yeah, and underneath it says, Margaret O'Brien starts tomorrow.
Professor Morgenhoff.
Shall we throw that joke to the lions? Oh, McGreevy, you're back, eh?
Yes.
Did you find the pig?
No, sir, but I did find this old newspaper.
An old newspaper. Oh, yes. Look at this headline. It says, Dodgers win series. What's the date on that?
1985.
Right underneath there, it says, autos promised for next spring.
Well, Professor, what shall I say in our report to the university?
Oh, just say, New York is a wonderful place to visit, but I wouldn't live there. I wouldn't live there if they gave me the place.
As a public service, we present the first in a descriptive series about people who give advice, entitled, Help.
I'm walking down the street looking for a certain address. Pardon me, mister. Do you happen to know where 675 Sunrise Road is?
Funny thing, I'm going there myself.
Oh, swell. Where is it?
I don't know. Let's ask somebody.
So I lose this character and I ask somebody else. Lady, do you know where 675 Sunrise Road is?
Well, it's about 3 blocks down the street. Turn right at the gas station and, hello.
So I lose that character after 2 or 3 hours. And I ask somebody else. Pardon me, sir, but do you know where 675 Sunrise Road is?
Yes.
Well, is it around here?
Yes.
Can you tell me how to get there?
Yes.
Do you mind telling me?
Yes.
If you don't want to tell me, what are you standing here for?
He asked me what I'm standing here for.
Oh!
Come, Rover.
Oh, I don't think it deserves applause. So next, maybe it does. Well, we'll never know. So next, I bump into a little old man who looks like he was in New York when they bought the place. He should be. He ought to know. Pardon me, sir. Can you tell me where 675 Sunrise Road is?
Tell you anything you want to know. Speak up, young fellas.
Well, can you tell me...
Know this city like the back of my hand. Was born here. How old would you say I was, young fellas?
Well, 85.
Heh, 92. Don't look it, do I?
No, you look more like 85. Tell me, do you happen to know...
Used to swim in Central Park Lake every morning till I was 83. They made me stop.
Who?
Tammany Hall. My name's Jeremiah Crisp. Jeremiah after the prophet Crisp, after my father. What do you want, young fella?
Oh, it's not important. I was looking for a house.
I'm a Republican, young fella. Don't look it, do I?
No, you don't look a day over 85.
92. That's 92. Uh-huh. Healthy living, does it? Never drink water from faucets.
Why not?
Runs through the ground. Got to get dirty.
Logical. What kind of water do you drink?
Rainwater. I'm healthy as a cow. Cow's got 6 lives.
Oh, no. A cow doesn't have 6 lives.
Huh? Got 6 or something. I know that. You know what the cleanest animals are?
The cleanest animals? No. What?
Pigs. I never seen a pig expectorate. What's troubling you, young fellow? You look fidgety.
I was just in a hurry to get somewhere, but it doesn't matter.
Know what the trouble with the country's economy is, young fella?
High prices?
Nope, just again.
Gee, I don't know.
Too many swamps. I lived in a swamp for 10 years, then had to move away. They built a city on it.
What city?
Philadelphia. I remember what young Martin Van Buren used to say, think clean and live in the mountains. Deep thinker, that boy.
Must have been. Well, do you happen to know...
The railroads done it.
They done what?
Railroads filled the air with smoke. We're all breathing railroad air, not American air. How old would you say I was?
Oh, about 92.
85. So long, young feller. And remember, keep your feet on the ground and your nose to the grindstone and your eye on the politicians. Jeremiah Crisp said it.
Well, I'm glad I've met you. Thank you. The shadows of dusk are slowly lengthening over the great metropolis. The lights of the city are twinkling on one by one. It's very picturesque, and I'm still looking for 675 Sunrise Road. I see a charming-looking couple sitting close together on a park bench. Excuse me, folks. Can you tell me where 675 Sunrise Road is?
Well, of course. It's 2 blocks down and turn to the right.
You mean to the left, darling.
Oh, no, dear. I'm sure it's to the right.
Never mind. I'll find it myself.
You see, dear, you're confusing the man.
I'm confusing him. Now, if you hadn't said anything, darling...
I was just telling
you. Why do you talk about something you know nothing about?
Well, you're the one who doesn't know. If you don't know, why do you...
Who said I don't know? I used to work right next door.
You work? You haven't worked in 10 years.
If you don't mind...
Stay right here.
Look, you go down 2
you
blocks.
Stop. I suppose you were in such a blind stupor you forgot last Saturday night. You were so drunk you went around kissing every woman in the room.
Ha, ha, ha.
Except you didn't kiss me.
I wasn't that drunk.
Well, thanks for trying, folks. I'll manage.
I hate you. I hated you the day I married
you. Then why did you marry me?
Because you were a pest. You were born a pest, and you'll die a pest.
Gee, it's swell of you folks to try to help out. I'll take a cab.
Wait a minute. I'll go with you.
You're going my way?
Going your way. I'm
going
to live with you.
So finally, I gave up and hailed a cab. A taxi, 675 Sunrise Road, please.
Okay, 675 Sunrise Road.
Yes.
How do you get there?
Well, I don't know what radio's coming to, but I know where it's been.
People are asking more questions today than ever before.
We have to stretch a little. I think we're going to be a little short.
People are asking more questions today than ever before. And they're getting fewer answers. Now, in an effort to alleviate this serious shortage of answers, we
you
bring
take
you...
a lot of time with it.
Yes. In an effort to alleviate this serious shortage of answers, it's going to get pretty dull.
Two L's and alleviate?
Yes, and one B. B-I. We bring you the fellow who knows everything. Everything, that is. Radio's famous question man. Now, if you have a question you'd like answered, I'll repeat that. If you have a question you would like answered, send it in. Now, the question man.
Good evening.
Our first question, sir, comes from Mrs. R.K. of Newark, who asks, are hockey pucks edible?
Yes. Hockey pucks are edible and are pronounced delicious by epicures. When a hockey puck is boiled with greens, the greens become soggy and are pronounced soggy by epicures.
Mr. M.B. of Scranton asks, who played second base for the Baltimore Orioles in 1902?
This position was held down by the first baseman.
Mr. M.B. of Scranton asks, well, in that case, who played first base?
The Mill on the Floss was written by George Eliot.
Our next question. George Eliot asks, what is meant by the term postman's holiday, and how did the expression originate?
The term postman's holiday refers to a holiday taken by a postman. It is not known how the expression originated.
Mr. Casey of Topeka writes, I often hear people say, well, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Is this true?
Yes. Send for my free booklet, 89 Ways to Skin a Cat.
Mrs. R.D. of Atlanta wants to know, do some foods contain more calories than others?
No. Some foods contain less calories than others.
Mr. B.P. of Fresno says, my friends all submit questions to the question man. I am made sport of. Because I cannot think of any questions. Can you help me?
Yes, I can. Send for my free booklet, Questions Suitable for Submitting to the Question Man.
If you have a question, send it to the Question Man.
Are we still short, Charlie, or can we... On the nose, and keep going.
If you have a question, send it to the Question Man. Enclose $5 to cover the cost of living. And be sure to tune in next week, because...
Morgan will be on the same corner in front of the cigar store next Wednesday at the same time.
This program was transcribed from an earlier network broadcast. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Henry Morgan was known as a cutting-edge satirist who never hesitated to make fun of the sponsors who called the shots in old radio. In this next episode, his guest star is another comedian who was famously flippant toward sponsors, Stan Freberg. Have a few laughs with The Henry Morgan Show, first broadcast October 29th, 1947 on ABC.
The Henry Morgan Show? From Hollywood.
Hollywood, Eversharp, manufacturer of Eversharp Schick Injector razors and blades and famous Eversharp precision writing instruments, brings you the Henry Morgan Show, featuring Bernie Green and his orchestra and a few surprises.
Good evening, anybody. Here's Morgan. Thank you very much. Every once in a while on this show, we publish a radio edition of your daily newspaper, the Morgan Daily Gazette. Our newspaper comes in several editions, and just like every other newspaper, the earliest edition is called Late Edition. The earliest edition, called Late Edition, is Thursday's paper, which comes out late Wednesday. That is the early evening of the edition is the after that comes the later edition, then latest, final, five-star final, and then, oops! This is the oops edition. Because of the freedom of the press, any American has the right to start a newspaper. All he needs is courage, integrity, $10 million. In fact, if he has $10 million, he doesn't need courage and integrity. In fact, if he... slightly radical applause there. Of course, the backbone of the American newspaper is the small town editor. Small town editor is generally fearless, outspoken, says what he likes, whether it pleases his publisher or not. This kind of small-town editor usually winds up in a much smaller town. But the newspaper today is a vital part of everyday American life. In millions of homes, every morning, the husband and wife come down to breakfast, and the morning paper provides them with subjects for cheerful, gay table conversation. Like this couple.
Honey, listen to this. Prices are really going down. Here's a mink coat reduced from $1,500 to $1,498. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, listen, honey. The West End Ladies Civic League is having a lecture on making your marriage happier through electrotherapy. Would you like to go? Oh, look, darling. They're making ladies' suits out of pigskin trimmed with organdy. Don't you think that would look attractive on me? Oh, dear. If you don't stop grunting at me, I'm going to dump this pot of coffee all over your bald head.
There's a joke in there somewhere. I don't know what we did. However, to go on, newspapers also supply us with great thinkers to tell us what's going on in the world. The year is 1945, and two men are discussing a newspaper.
Say, Harry, I see where Westlake Pegbrook says that OPA is keeping prices up. He says if we want lower prices, we better get rid of OPA.
Yeah?
The year is 1946. Year is 1946, and the same two men are discussing a newspaper.
Say, Harry, I see where Westlake Pegbrook says that the unions are keeping prices up. He says if we want lower prices, we better get rid of the unions.
Yeah?
1 year later.
Say, Harry, I see where Westlake Pegbrook says that people buying things are keeping prices up.
What does he want us to get rid of?
I think people.
Well, from what Westlake Pegbrook says, we got to get rid of something.
Well, how about Westlake Pegbrook?
Another advantage of the newspaper is that it gives people a broader outlook on life, helps people see the more cheerful aspects of the world they live in, like these two women.
Oh, Agnes, look at this. Mrs. Malloy is suing her husband because he beat her every morning with a broom handle. Oh, isn't that awful? And Agnes, listen to this. Old Banker Moore died and left all his money to build a home for orphan porcupines. He left his widow enough car fare to visit them once a week. Isn't that terrible? Agnes, here's something about one of our dearest friends, Luella Gans. She went into the hospital for a simple tonsil operation, and they found she has a rare disease that makes her bark like a dog. Oh, isn't that simply horrible? Oh, here's the weather. It says rain tomorrow.
Rain? Oh, that newspaper is so depressing.
Well, let's open the Morgan Daily Gazette to the letters to the editor column, which is read very widely by people who write letters to the editor. Here it is.
Page 7, we the people write.
Dear editor, your cooking column yesterday advised us to make an Irish lamb stew. My problem is, where can I buy an Irish lamb? Signed, Orangeman.
Dear editor, your paper has had a lot of editorials against the factories which produce all that smoke or smog. Why don't you mind your own business? Smoke is a lot better than you think. Signed, Dr. B.J. Jones, throat specialist.
Dear editor, my name is Gerard. And I'm in Sunny Cal now for 4 weeks now. Everybody says it's wonderful here. All I can say is, how come at 11 o'clock at night the whole town goes to sleep? You can't even find a drunk on the street to talk to. I think the whole place is full of deadheads, and I think it should be investigated. Signed, I'm sick up to my ears.
Dear editor, I've been reading about the Hollywood investigation in Washington, and I'm disgusted. I think it's nothing but a witch hunt. Signed, a witch.
Page 5. An advertisement. In great big letters, it says,
Eversharp, Schick, Injector, Razor.
Then in littler letters, it says, America's fastest shave with the Eversharp Schick Injector Razor. Then in little letters, it says,
on sale at all leading drugstores.
I notice that these days almost everything is on sale at leading stores. What happens in the trailing stores? Don't they have anything to sell? Maybe the way it works is this. The salesman goes on the road for the Eversharp company, and he comes to a trailing drugstore. The druggist orders 10 razors. The salesman whips out his order book, pats the druggist on the head with it, and he says, Arise, druggist. From now on, you will be known as a leading drugstore. Then, thank you very much, Sankin Trombone. Then the advertisement always says, Buy one today. Did you know that the company would make just as much money if you didn't buy it till tomorrow? As a matter of fact, this is a pretty silly time of night to go out to buy anything. If I were you, I'd stay home and listen to the radio. Here's a really strange item. It says, musician named Stanley Freeberg gives peculiar concert.
Da 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 da
Push, pull, click, click.
Now let's take a look at a page in the paper which isn't read by many people. The news page. Let's glance over the headlines on page one of the Morgan Daily Gazette and see what vital things have been happening today. Say, this sounds interesting. Film actor divorces wife for mental cruelty. Claims every night before going to bed she refused even to look at his picture. Wife asserts his picture ran 2.5 hours. Another headline. Another headline says, woman claims battering husband's brains out with monkey wrench was accident. Meant to fix his automobile, she says. Did not mean to fix his wagon. Sort of a pun, you might say. Here's a fascinating news story on page 3. It says, on 35th birthday, King of Ruritania reviews Navy maneuvers. King appears in Admiral's regalia, wearing all his medals. Always wanted to know about those uniforms and all those medals. Let's look behind the scene of this news item as the king prepares for this occasion.
I beg pardon, your imperial, exquisite, magnificent, royal highness.
Yeah.
This is the day you're supposed to review the Navy, your highness.
Oh, hot diggity, I could wear my sailor suit.
I approve of that decision, your highness, as your minister plenipotentiary and secretary of state.
Thanks, Max. Max, can I wear my big sword today?
I think you'd better not, Your Highness. You know how it drags.
Oh.
Remember last year when you turned around, your sword tripped the foreign minister and he fell right off the balcony?
Yeah, but we saved his pension money. Well, if I can't wear my sword, I'm not going. All the other kings wear their swords.
But you know you're shorter than they are.
Max, remember, I am Your Highness.
But you're only a 5 foot, Highness.
Max, watch your tongue. You're talking to His Majesty, King Arnold, XBIII.
But, Your Highness, you can wear your medals, as many as you want.
Oh, Peachy, let's see. I think I'll wear the gold medal that Parliament gave me for waving back at the crowds. And a platinum one with my profile in diamonds and rubies that I got for winning 3rd place in a high school broad jump.
What about the one given you by the Royal Order of the Garter for wearing your garters?
No, I didn't like that medal. It itched my leg. I like the kind of garters where no metal can touch you.
Well, you're all dressed, Your Highness. Oh, don't you want to wear your Medal of the Royal Bar?
No, I lost it.
You did?
Yeah. While I was wearing it, the royal plug come out and it went down a royal drain.
Page 6, news item of vital interest to all of us. The headline says, Governor John B. Meathook denies he's interested in presidential nomination. Tours country in active campaign of denial. Then the article says, Governor Meathook and his party arrived today in Cactus, Nebraska. He was greeted at the station by a group of loyal Boy Scouts who left immediately after learning he wasn't Pee Wee Reese. The governor... I beg your pardon. Some of this seems awfully funny to me. The governor stopped at the farm... You're entitled to your opinion. This is a free country. By gosh, it is. The governor stopped at the... I don't blame you in the least. If you don't want to... The governor stopped at the farm of an old friend where he shook hands with a number of well-wishers whom he found at the bottom of an old well. You're wrong. It's not as good as the other joke. It was at this farm that the governor was interviewed by reporters and photographers.
How about a story, Governor?
Certainly, my friends. You mind if I lean on this hoe while we talk? As you can see, I'm just a man of the soil, just plain folk.
We know, Governor, but why don't you make yourself comfortable and put down that cow?
As soon as I take the picture, boys, I... Yes, sir, and just a man of the soil. Just look at these fingernails.
What about them?
They're filthy. I'm proud of this dirt. Good American dirt. Back home, got trunks filled with it.
Governor, we'd like to ask you about some things the people are vitally interested in before they cast their votes.
Go right ahead, young lady. I'm vitally interested in the people before they cast their votes.
Well, Governor, how do you stand on the question of foreign loans?
I stand four square.
But, Governor... Governor, exactly what is four square?
16. That's arithmetic, friends. American arithmetic. Don't let any foreign power tell you different.
Governor, you recently toured all of Europe. What did you find there?
A lot of foreigners.
Yes, I see. And did you find out anything about the people there?
How could I? Most of them couldn't talk English. Why, Europe is filled with uneducated people.
Getting back to domestic issues, Governor, how do you feel about one of our leading senators' idea of eating less?
I think it'll do them good.
Talking about the senator, do you think he can swing the West?
Yes, indeed. Not sure to which party.
And finally, Governor, you still say you're not a candidate for president?
Yes. I will say it and keep saying it till the day I'm nominated.
Well, thank you, Governor. It was an honor to talk to a man who may well be our next president, if we're not careful.
Page 12, the comic section. Let's... Hey, you're the funny comic. The happy-go-lucky axe murderers. Oh, here's a better one. Terry and the burlesque queens. That's a joke. Oh, here's my favorite. Little Orphan Sadie. Let's read that one, huh? First box. Little Orphan Sadie says...
Gloriosity, Sandy. It's a really and truly Gloriosity day, isn't it, Gloriosity?
Arf, arf!
Gloriosity, just think. Daddy Sawbucks will soon be home again from his big business trip to the Sahara Desert, where he set up a whole chain of hot dog stands. Right, Sandy?
Arf, arf.
Gloriosity, I was beginning to miss Daddy Sawbucks. I'm glad he was only gone 30 years this time. But I always say, it doesn't matter how long he's gone, as long as when he comes back, you know that even though he went away, he's back. Right, Sandy?
Arf, arf.
And as I was saying, to cheerful, cheerful old Mr. Poverty Stricken, who lives in that nicely decorated swamp, I said, it doesn't matter how poor you are, you can still be happy as long as you're stupid. What do you think, Sandy?
Arf, arf!
Oh, Sandy, looky, looky in Gloriosity. It's Daddy Sawbucks coming in through the drain pipe. Daddy Sawbucks, Daddy Sawbucks, it's you, it's you. Oh, Daddy, 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 it's you.
Hiya.
Daddy Sawbucks, Daddy Sawbucks, it's you, it's you, it's you.
All right, break it up, break it up. But it's good to see you both. Sandy, stop wagging your tail and say hello to your old daddy.
Arf, arf.
And little orphan Sadie, say hello to Daddy Sawbucks.
Arf, arf.
Little Sadie, you never change. You're just as bright as when I left.
But Daddy Sawbucks, you're home again for keeps, aren't you?
Yeah, for keeps.
Gloriosity, let me give you a big fat kiss.
Well, I gotta be leaving. Goodbye, little orphan Sadie. I'm off on a very, very important trip.
Where are you going, Daddy Sawbucks?
To Italy. I have to build a great big cork to put into Mount Vesuvius. But before I go, I want to give you a little something that'll bring you good luck. Close your eyes. Now look in your hand.
Gloriosity! $10 million!
Yes, all in singles. Well, goodbye, little orphan. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Daddy Sawbucks. Oh... He's gone again, Sandy.
Arf, arf.
Well, back to the little old orphan asylum.
Arf, arf.
Ah, shut up.
And now, the gossip column. In Austria, they call gossip Trichtratsch, or something like that, which is also the name of a polka by Strauss, which is also an arrangement by our conductor, Bernie Green.
Mister, are you a blade jockey? Do you keep jumping from one make of razor blade to another, always looking for a better shave? If so, you've got the wrong idea. Switching blades isn't the answer. Switch to a different razor, sir, a modern razor, the Eversharp Schick Injector. Yes, sir, the Eversharp Schick Injector outmodes, outspeeds, outshaves any razor you've ever used. It's made differently, handles differently, shaves differently. And man, what a difference your face feels. Cleaner, cooler, more refreshed. It's 50% faster, 100% safer, 200% smoother. Sure, it's the only razor with the automatic blade changer. Try the Eversharp Schick Injector for 1 week. See for yourself. No blades to unwrap, nothing to take apart. Just push-pull, click-click. Out goes the old blade, in goes the new. It's a $1.75 value, special. Now, only $1.25, complete with 20 blades.
Special. Now, only $1.25, complete with 20 blades.
For the shave of your life, the rest of your life, remember, push-pull, click-click. Change blades that quick. That's Eversharp Schick.
And now we come to the sports page. The football season is well underway, and it certainly is invigorating to hear once again the sound of foot on pigskin, the crunch of foot on face. I always say there's nothing better to do on a nice fall day than watch a football game, unless you have something better to do.
Say, Henry, here's a familiar headline. Colleges decry professionalism in college football. And it's an interview with Marmaduke Morgan, All-American tackle at Northeastern Southwestern University. Let's see what he has to say about college football players being paid, okay? You are Marmaduke Morgan.
Whatever it says on my sweater, bud.
You have trouble remembering your own name?
I got other things in my mind, bud.
Yes. Well, Morgan is a rather unusual name.
Yeah, that's a funny thing. I only knew one other Morgan.
Who was that?
My father. His first name was Marmaduke, too. I forget his last name.
Morgan?
You know my old man.
Now about your college, Marmaduke. Just where is Northeastern Southwestern?
You got me there, bud. They take me back and forth by bus.
What, What courses are you taking, Marmaduke? Physics, chemistry, math?
Huh?
I mean at the college. What classes do you attend?
Classes? How do you like that? I always wondered what went on in them buildings.
Getting back to football, Marmaduke, what do you think of professionalism in college football?
I decry professionalism in college football.
You don't think college football players should be paid?
Who said anything about that?
Do you get money from the university?
Yeah, I get $75 a week, but not for playing football, for services rendered.
Oh, what kind of services?
Well, it's one of my jobs to shovel snow off the campus.
Is that a hard job?
I don't know, Bud. It ain't never snowed.
What other services do you render?
Well, in case of a cyclone, it's my job to stand in front of the gymnasium and holler, "Cyclone! Cyclone!"
No cyclones.
Nope.
No snow, no cyclones.
Nope.
Well, that seems like an easy way to make $75 a week.
What do you mean easy? Don't forget, Bud, I also gotta play football.
And now, the woman's page. This contains menus by Prudence Nickel. She used to be Prudence Penny, but you know the joke. Menu for today. Oxtail soup. First, catch one ox and... Well, let's look at the, Let's look at the helpful hints for housewives. Here's one. If you like 3-minute eggs boiled 5 minutes... you don't like 3-minute eggs. To make your husband's den... We got about 40 here. You just sit him out. Where were we? Oh, to make your husband's den look more attractive, keep your husband out of it. Way in back of the paper, you always come to the booby hatch section. First, there's the astrologist. He says, today, Sagittarius is in Saturn. So, if it's your birthday, it's a good day for dancing with your dentist. It's a bad day for falling off an ocean liner. Tell you the truth, if you believe that stuff, I don't care whether you shave or not. Then, of course, there are the amusements. I get the most amusements out of the movie ads. For instance,
coming soon, don't miss...
That great lover, Junior Quilts, and gorgeous Laura Fedora in...
The sequel to The Outlaw.
The In-Law.
Written by Joe Bananas.
Directed by Harry Cabbage.
Produced by Louis Potato.
Investigated by Parnell Thomas.
For school, birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, and business gifts, remember, the best gift of all is an Eversharp CA pen. Has foolproof 1948 cartridge with triple ink supply. The Eversharp CA pen, formerly $6.95, now only $3.95.
Morgan will be on the same corner in front of the cigar store again next week at the same time.
Eversharp, manufacturers of Eversharp Schick Injector Razors and Blades, invite you to tune in same time, same station next week, when Eversharp will again bring you The Henry Morgan Show. This is Jay Stewart saying goodnight for Eversharp. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.